Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your brother Hussein Kamani. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures we are always able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the opportunity for gaining immense reward by supporting our efforts is endless. You never know who will be able to benefit from your donation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, and jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده المصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكأي من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين صدق الله العظيم. The verses I just recited right now are from Surah Al Imran, and they are a part of a group of verses that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the occurrence of the Battle of Uhud. In particular, verses 144. Starting from وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ until the end of the verse I just recited right now, verse number 148. Now the context of these verses, the Battle of Badr took place in the third year after Hijrah. The Battle of Uhud took place in the third year after Hijrah. It was a great battle. There were 1,000 Sahaba who were by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of which 300 ended up leaving because these people were hypocrites. They weren't true companions of the Prophet. There was some persuasion by Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was very angry with these 300 people who walked away because there was an army standing on the other side. And the army on the other side consisted of 3,000 people, strong, armored, from Makkah Mukarramah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the companions and Muslims at large in the Quran that no matter how great the army in front of you is, your responsibility is to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never give up hope. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, no one can destroy you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abandons you, then no one can help you. إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ A principle taught in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy to see big numbers, large groups, millions of dollars on one side versus a Muslim budget in the community that barely has any contributions to a da'wah segment. Probably we would be lucky if the masajid even have an outreach or da'wah segment. And you're wondering, how do we win this? How do we come out on top? Now, naturally, and I'll discuss this as we go through the khutbah, we can't be naive and we can't not invest. We can't abandon our responsibilities to the community and preparing ourselves and working proactively. We can't be on our back foot where we're constantly just reacting. If someone throws a punch, we step back. Someone throws a punch, we step back. We have to learn to be on our forward. We have to learn to move forward. We have to learn to be proactive and come forward and step forward and take control of the narrative. Nonetheless, we come back to the Battle of Uhud. In this battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very clearly taught the companions and instructed them of their positions. He taught them the method to engage and instructed them of their positions. A group of the companions left their position that they were given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to the result of which there was a massive casualty that occurred. And not just one or two, almost 70 companions lost their lives. Amongst this chaos that occurred, where Muslims were sandwiched from front and from behind, and there were so many people dying, one person Some narrations actually say it was Shaitan himself, shouted out loud, "Qutila Muhammad," that Muhammad has been killed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions, when they heard this, because of their extreme love for the Prophet, because of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant to them, because of how important he was the point of revelation for them, he was their source of guidance. When they heard that he passed away, they kind of dropped their weapons and dropped their arms and said, you know what, forget it, there's no point living. And they stopped fighting. Some of them started leaving the battlefield while others were just being slaughtered and butchered because they weren't even defending themselves anymore. They couldn't find purpose in life. Now all in all, when the battle was over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded those companions who decided to walk away because there was a loss, because there were casualties, because people died. They decided to walk away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded them. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ إِنْ قَلَبْتُمَ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. If he was killed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he died, would you walk away from the religion? Would you walk away from this cause? Would you stop coming to the masjid? Would you stop showing up to Islamic events? Would you tell your kids to stop going to the masjid to learn the Quran because of fear that something may happen? Are you going to live your life in fear forever? Will you never stand up to someone who's trying to put fear in your heart and say to them loud and clear, you can't do that? Because I live for a greater purpose. I was looking at the interview of the widow of one of the martyrs from the shooting in New Zealand, and she was a mother as well from one of the martyrs in New Zealand. And she was being interviewed, and they asked her, how do you feel? Do you ever plan to go back to the masjid after losing your husband and after losing your son? Do you plan to go back to the masjid? And she said, of course I will. They wish to put fear in our heart, while we don't intend to give in to them. We wish to live by love, because Islam is a religion of peace. It's a religion of love. I'm going to continue doing what I do. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the companions in the battle of Uhud through these verses, 144 to 148. The verse I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابٌ مُؤَجَّلًا. No one can die without the permission of Allah. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No one can ever die unless Allah gives the command for that person to die. Your time has come. And even that كِتَابٌ مُؤَجَّلًا was written before you were even born. Each and every one of those 51 people were destined to die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them by giving them death in the most honorable way a person can ask for death. Who wouldn't here want to be given death or die while it being the day of Jummah? People make dua for this. Ya Allah, give me death on Jummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one riwayah says that this is shahada for a person. This is martyrdom in and of itself. Who wouldn't want to die while they're in salah? Who wouldn't want to die while they're in sajda? Who wouldn't want to die while they're inside the masjid? You know, doing shahada of their wahdaniyah, maybe saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and al-A'la invites them to Jannah. You know, they say regarding the first person that was shot that he was inviting people to the masjid. He was standing by the door welcoming people. And the gunman pulled out his gun and shot him. And it's as if he said to this person, welcome to the masjid. And on the other hand, Rasulullah said, welcome to Jannah. You know, an honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا. No one dies without Allah's permission. And it's already been set by Allah. Someone dies on a hospital bed. Another person dies in a car accident. Someone dies while being mugged. Another person dies while doing some sporting event. And this person dies while in sajda. وَمَن يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. Whoever wishes for a worldly reward, we'll give it to them. وَمَن يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. And whoever wishes for a reward with Allah, they will be given that. We will give that to them. وَسَنَجْزِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And very soon we will reward those that are thankful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 146, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. How many times has it happened that scholarly people stood by the side of their prophets and fought with them in their cause? These people who believe in Allah, they stood for the cause of the Prophet. You, when you're giving da'wah, you're standing by the side of the Prophet. Because had the Prophet been alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can take an oath and say he would be standing by your side. Because this is what he did his life. If anyone was ever doing a good deed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was either in promoting them to do it,
congratulating them on doing it, standing by their side while they were doing it. He never left someone aside who was doing good. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was always by the side of people who did good. If Rasulullah was alive today, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw you doing da'wah and he was passing by, I can take an oath by Allah and say he would stand next to you. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And when these people were standing by the side of their prophets, whether it was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, or while in Taif, Zayd bin Harith radiallahu anhu, or any journey for that matter, when these people were standing by the side of the Prophet, during the Hijrah, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was by the side of the Prophet, and there were many difficulties they faced. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. In the process of facing difficulty, these people did not become weak. وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا, they did not submit. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ, they were patient, and Allah loves those that are patient. When they face difficulty, what did they do though? Because difficulty is a certain part of that formula of giving da'wah and inviting people to Islam. What did they do? Verse number 147. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. They made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they did. Every time they faced difficulty, they made dua to Allah. But you have to learn to be proactive. You have to learn to do something. But before you decide to develop your committees and start donating your money and doing your fundraisers and all that stuff, learn to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all of the work that you do, all of the fundraising and all the committees and all the da'wah and all the advocacy that you do, it's all contingent on your dua that you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe that your advocacy will bring change to the world, you are deluded. If you believe your dua will bring change to the world, you're on the right path. If you can match both things together, that you make dua to Allah and then you do your advocacy, get ready to see the world change. Learn to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the Makki Hijri, Makki life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many difficulties and so much more dua. If the batil is willing to work hard for their cause, the believers need to learn to work even harder. If they're willing to sit together and have meetings and invest money, Islamophobia as an industry is a very well-funded industry. I don't think we understand this. An industry whose goal is one thing and one thing alone, which is to create fear in the hearts, and irrational fear, sorry, Islamophobia. An irrational fear in the hearts of people for Muslims. This industry that you and I are maybe even unaware of, I'm not even sure how many people are familiar with this term and movement, this ideology, and this monster Islamophobia. This is an industry. This industry is well funded. There was a study done by the University of California at Berkeley, combined with CARE, and they studied the years 2008 to 2013. 200, get ready for this, $200 million were invested for Islamophobia. Let the number settle in. $200 million were invested to make people have an irrational fear for Muslims. $200 million. This is not a joke. And on the other hand, the Muslim community is barely even donating to their masajid. We're barely able to keep the lights on in many centers in our country. Many masajid are barely able to even come into existence, let alone our da'wah projects and our soup kitchens and our local community efforts and engagement with the interfaith community and all the other things that need to be done, which are base level advocacy and work that needs to be done before we even get into what needs to be done in the long run, our 10-year plan, our 20-year plan, how we're going to deal with this monster, Islamophobia. Learn first and foremost to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا, and transgressions on our behalf. Because the enemy is strong because we've been lazy. We've been weak, Ya Allah. The enemy became strong because we allowed it to become strong. If we were strong from the beginning, if we stood for the haq right from the beginning, if we didn't lose ourselves for the last 30 years, the enemy couldn't get this strong. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. But Ya Allah, now that we see the enemy, and now that we see that there are people who hate us, ثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Give us firmness in our feet. Allow us to stand strong. Don't let us be cowards. Let us stand in front of those who have enmity towards us and be courageous. And I'm not calling towards any war, any battle, any knuckle fight here. I'm talking about being strategic, being smart. A Muslim is not naive. I'm not asking anyone to hate anyone here. Because Muslims don't win battles. We don't necessarily win battles through hatred and through swinging swords and through firing and spraying bullets. There's another way. And there is a way that's much more effective. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not desire battle. Battle was a necessity for him. And if this sounds absurd to you, I invite you to read the Prophet's biography. At the end of the Battle of Badr, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lowered the bodies of those that were killed from the Quraysh in a well, it was a grave that they created, and their bodies were lowered in there, he spoke to them. And the hadith can be found in the Sihah, the authentic collections of hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while speaking to them, he said, "I did not want to fight against you." These were his words. "I had no desire to kill you. My desire was that you have guidance. My desire was that we can live in peace." And he had this very beautiful, emotional, powerful conversation. Islam is not in the business of eliminating human beings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire was what? That people are guided. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the Prophet and says that it seems as if you're going to give your life out of sorrow and grief because you're sad that these people have not accepted Islam, that they aren't accepting your message. You care so much for their Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving Taif. He could have gathered a group of Sahaba together and attacked them because they had hurt the Prophet. No, that's not what the Prophet did. He made dua for them. He said, "Ya Allah, guide from their children." Even in the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua. And the examples are never ending. So as Muslims, we have to first and foremost learn to develop hope. That yes, there is a problem and we can face it. Actually, before even hope, we have to come to a realization that there is an industry that stands against us. You can pass up flowers all you want to, but if you don't realize there is someone there that has a problem with you, you won't be able to address your flowers to the right people. You won't know where to address your flowers, how to address them, to pass them out, when to give out your flowers. You have to first know that there is an industry, there are groups of people. Right-wing extremists, neo-Nazis are a true group of people. This is a really real thing. This is a very serious issue that we as Americans face. Forget Muslims, let alone Muslims. We as Americans face, it's a very big problem. Now, as a community, we have to start, after we realize what the problem is and understand the depth of the problem, and we haven't even discussed the depth of it. I just maybe scratched, you know, the first top, the highest level, the highest layer of the issue. But once you realize there's a problem there, you have to develop hope that yes, we can stand to it. In Islamic history, we were always fewer in numbers. And if we put Islam out of the equation for a moment, the reality is whenever truth faced falsehood, generally speaking, those that were on the path of the truth were fewer in number. They didn't gain victory because of their numbers. They gained victory because of their morality. Go to the history of America. The founding forefathers of this country did not outnumber. They didn't have greater numbers. They didn't have greater artillery or some greater ships or greater warfare. These people were sincere. Ibn Khaldun rahmatullahi alayhi in his tariq writes exactly this in his muqaddimah, that Allah gave victory to every up and coming nation, not because of their numbers, rather because of their sincerity, because of the purpose they had, because of the values they stood for. And as Muslims, you have to know that yes, you may be fewer in numbers. Yes, you may not have the finances that others may be able to put against you, but you have a heart. You have the Quran. You have Rasulullah. Wafikum Rasulullah. You have the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with your himmah, with your hope, with your character, with your da'wah, with the beautiful, pure message of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to reach the corners of the world. There is a window of da'wah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. Always remember this. And there is a window for everything. When you do something at the right time, the impact of it could be everlasting. Someone loses a family member, 2 days later you go and visit them, you take them some food, they'll remember you for the rest of their life. Because the window was right. You come to them 5 years later, they'll appreciate it, nonetheless. But it won't have that same impact, because there's a time and place for everything. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the plan of those who wish to cause harm to the Muslims, who wish to hurt Muslims by coming into a masjid and shooting innocent people. They thought that they could create hatred. They thought that they could incite Muslims to react irrationally, just as they were doing something irrational. And that would cause hatred in the hearts of mankind for Muslims, and yet Muslims were smart. Allah reward the leadership in New Zealand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Muslims in New Zealand. Allah reward the Muslims across the world for not falling for a cheap trap. We need to keep doing what we do. We are not extreme people. We are not violent people. I've yet to meet one Muslim in America who's ever talked about doing something violent. Every time I meet Muslims and we talk about da'wah, it's generally stuff like, let's go pass out food. Let's go make sandwiches and go to a park and pass out sandwiches. Let's raise some money so we can go to the inner city or go to a part of the community that's struggling with water in Flint, Michigan, and let's go pass out water bottles. That's what Muslims do. This is who we are. We don't need to change who we are. Keep doing what you're doing. Do it with ikhlas and sincerity. Do it wholeheartedly. Do it the best you can. Because every time someone tries to get you off of your game, when you step off of your game, you lose. You need to stay on your game. Stay on your game plan. Listen to your imam, your du'at, and when they tell you these are the methods, these are the most effective ways to do da'wah, stick to the game plan. And keep doing it the way we're supposed to do it. They thought they can incite hatred in the hearts of mankind. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ But Allah does what He wants to. 51 men and women were lowered into their graves. They became shaheed. And then what happened? The unimaginable happened. University campuses across New Zealand, for the first time, Allah's name was said out loud. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No one ever imagined that in this land, openly, in front of hundreds of thousands, this statement of Rasulullah would be said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. A handful of companions lost their life in Badr, and Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah spread across the world. And these people lost their lives, and today, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, a leader of a country is wearing a hijab. She's not Muslim. And she's coming to the masjid, reading ayat of the Quran, coming to the Jum'ah khutbah. Whoever imagined that doors of da'wah like this could open? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sunnah is that He will always make you sacrifice before He gives you something. So you understand the value of it. So you learn to work for it. So you don't put your guard down and go to sleep at home and think everything's going to come sweet and easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sunnah is this. Sunnah of Allah. It's a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and see how many masajid across America, they were gifted, you know, cards of condolences and were given flowers and bouquets that we are standing by your side. The masjid where that man came with a gun shooting people, you go to the staircase of that masjid and there wasn't a single square inch available to put a foot on because there were flowers everywhere. The ummah had gathered, mankind had gathered, saying that we are with you. And this is the point I want you to remember. People wish to bring fear in your heart. People wish to bring hatred in your heart. But as Muslims, never let hatred ever come into your heart. Let the world speak, because there are millions, and 90% of the people don't hate you. They love you. And as for the 10% that have hatred in their heart, look at them as masakin. Poor people who don't understand. They've been manipulated. Their minds have been polluted and destroyed. Otherwise, if you were to sit with those people, they would be guided too. There was a rally that happened outside our Richardson Masjid, maybe two, three years back. And one of our friends, he saw one of the men standing outside with a gun and he was, you know, causing ruckus. So one of our friends went to him and said, hey, have you ever sat with a Muslim before? He said, no, this is in Richardson. He said, no, I haven't. He said, what are you doing here with this gun? This guy said, I don't know, everyone was coming, so I came too. So he said to him, you know what, there's a coffee shop nearby here. Why don't you leave this rally right now? Let's go get some coffee. This person went with our friend in Richardson to get coffee, and subhanAllah, he was so amazed by this interaction. No, it doesn't end with the shahada. If you're waiting for some big punchline, it did not end with the shahada. Not every story ends with the shahada. But that's okay. We're not asking for the world to become Muslim. We're just asking them to sit and have a conversation. Have a talk. Let's talk about what the issues are. Let's talk about what we can do together. Don't let hatred come into your heart. Don't look at people. Don't look at every white person and say that they hate us, because then you are making the same mistake that that person made when he pulled the trigger, when he walked into the masjid. He thought all Muslims were horrible people. Do we have bad Muslims? Are there Muslims that are bad? Of course there are. I mean, we can't hide it, can we? And neither do we want to hide it. There are Muslims. There are people who share our faith, and they're violent. Very small percentage, extremely small percentage. If you were to look at the whole scope of 1.6 billion Muslims and the number of people who are cuckoos, and I think as far as our cuckoo to Muslim ratio goes, we're doing a decent job at it, okay? You have to learn to have sympathy, have love for the people around you. Remember that for every 100 that love you, there may be one or two that are crazy, that have some hatred. Win them by your love too. Learn to be smart. Establish your institutions. Establish your industries. As a Muslim community, this is the time for us to come forward and do something. And the last point I'll mention for this khutbah is, if you know anyone who has appreciated you or come to you, given you support, given you condolences from the non-Muslim community, now is the time for you to go back and tell them it meant a lot to me. Every person that sent you a card, send them a card. Every person that gave you a bouquet of flowers as a condolences, go and give it back to them. Every person that sent you any kindness, that said anything on social media, at work, that, hey man, we're with you, I want you to go back to them now, a few days later, and tell them, I want you to know that what you said to me that day meant a lot to me. Because man lam yashkur al-nas, lam yashkur al-nas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one that has not been thankful to people has not been thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us, our children, our communities, our masajid, mankind, humanity at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the path of hidayah for all of mankind. May Allah give our hearts patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us firmness in our feet. May Allah clear our hearts of fear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ever being cowards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us all with shahada in the city of Rasulullah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. الحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كلما ذكر الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما يا رب العالمين اللهم اهدنا فيما هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت ولك الحمد على ما قضيت ولك الشكر على ما أنعمت به وأوليت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي أمي سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.